everyone, and welcome to We Blame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, actor, and icon Harry Styles, as well as his numerous talented collaborators.
This week on episode 4, we're going to briefly go over this week's news and then go into the top moments of this last year.
My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do we blame Harry for this week?
Harry Styles Daily's mysterious disappearance.
Unforgivable.
Unforgivable.
What are we to do without them?
I don't know. It was hard making our news section without them. Harry Styles Daily, we love you. Come back.
Yeah, truly, what a good update account. We want you back. Jeff Azoff. At Jeff Azoff. Come on. Chop, chop. I will blame Harry for the socks that I got for Christmas with his face on them. Now, listeners, if you want to see these socks that my brother got me for Christmas, I posted a photo of them on my Twitter. There's something to behold. I don't know if I'm going to be bold enough to go out into the wild and rock those, but, you know, and let's just say if Harry visits my house ever, like that time he visited that one person's house when his car broke down, I will make sure to hide those before he comes in. But
you're going to hide them? No, you need to show him how much you love him. You need to wear them, like, in your house while he's around and just be like, hey.
The worst part is he'd be so nice about it. He'd be like, wow, those socks are something. He would probably
find it endearing. Listen, his entire life has like sold products with his face on him. Remember like One Direction duct tape? He's been like taped to things with his own face. He's fine.
Wow. Do you think he uses Harry Styles duct tape?
I think he did at one point in time, and now he's probably happy that it's not being made anymore. At least I don't think it's being manufactured anymore.
If you on Etsy sell Harry Styles duct tape, let us know at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Give us your little small business. We support small queer creators. Okay, moving beyond nonsense. Now it's time to talk about the news. The little news that we had this week. So really all that we have to talk about is, I don't know, a little something called the Treat People With Kindness music video. Yes. Yes.
Great. How are you doing?
Okay.
How are you doing on this evening?
So here's my thing. I have this historic tendency where in fandoms, I'm sometimes like eerily good at predicting things, but like only when I'm joking around. So like I have a friend who I've known a fandom for a long time who like in other like things that we were fanning over, like I like predicted weird things. Mm-hmm. So I sent my friend a message about this. I sent her, hey Kim, you know how I used to like do this weird thing in like all the other things that we were related to? And she was like, so what did Harry do this time? And I was like, yeah, I had been joking around about Harry dropping Treat People With Kindness as his next single, saying that it was super radio friendly. And then this dropped on Twitter and everybody in our inbox was like, hey, is Gray okay? Did Gray make this happen? What's going
on? It was so entertaining to see. And thank you so much to the listeners that personally reached out. That was so wonderful.
It was delightful. Yeah. It was so funny. Yes. So I am super excited. How are you feeling about Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Key?
Amazing. So yeah. So I mean, I assume that everybody listening to this obviously knows what happened, but on one day this week, it was actually like the day that I was editing our last episode and I was like all set to upload it. And I was like, wow, this is all so relevant. Like nothing has happened that we haven't talked about since we last recorded. Like, wow, this is great. And then like, as soon as I thought that, I guess the Vivo account tweeted a link to the video that was then, of course, immediately taken down because I guess it was a mistake. So we got like a little snippet of it. We know that Harry is in it with Phoebe Waller-Bridge. We know they're wearing like white, like sparkly suits, it looks like. It's in black and white. Like, will it turn to color?
Presumably, it's going to turn into color. It's going to be a real Wizard of Oz situation.
Yes. So it looks great. I'm so excited. I was like hardcore thinking that it would drop on Christmas.
Oh my God. I wanted it to drop on Christmas so bad. And then I felt really like owned by the universe when it didn't happen. I was just sitting there like, Truth with Kindness video. Where are you? And then...
So it's still to come, but yeah. We think maybe New Year's is what we're manifesting? Question mark?
I am manifesting as soon as possible. maybe
it'll hey, it's 11:33.
It's 11:33. Maybe it will come out while at we're midnight? Recording this episode at midnight.
That'd be very funny. Probably not, but hey, probably wouldn't that not, be funny?
But, you know, always manifesting. So, other than that, yeah, we really haven't heard from Harry this week. We obviously hope that he's having a nice holiday. Anne Instagrammed that the family wasn't able to be together for this Christmas. So I hope that even though that they were apart, that they still were able to have a decent holiday. Yeah. Moving on from the sad news of that, we're going to go into our main segment, which is our 2020 wrap up.
Yes, exactly. So we thought we'd just kind of wrap up the year. This is going to be a shorter episode, hopefully, than normal. Hopefully we can keep it short. We kind of historically have a problem with that, but we'll see. So we're just going to kind of take ourselves through the year in Harry and what's actually happened this year in 2020. Give kind of our top in a couple categories, like our top outfits, our top moments of the year. That's kind of the game plan. And before we get into that, I just want to say too, we're recording this the day after Christmas. Like we said, we hope Harry had a good holiday. We also hope that all listeners have had a good holiday. And in the run up to New Year's, we hope you have a great New Year's as well. If you want to get in touch with us, and contact us, if you're feeling lonely, there was a great hashtag, over Christmas week that kind of let Harry's get in touch with each other. So if you're having a great holiday, we are happy to hear that. And if you're not, there are people out there that you can contact. So, just wanted to kind of say that before we get into it. So to start out kind of our tops of the year, we're going to talk about our favorite casual looks of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So how I kind of defined this was, so we're going to do our favorite casual look and then our favorite professional look. So casual is like, basically if he wasn't at a professional event. So even if the look is like more casual in appearance, that still counts as professional if he was attending, like, say, a live performance. So Gray, do you want to start with your favorite casual look?
So my favorite casual look was the Butt Daddy I Love Him t-shirt.
Iconic.
Yeah, I still remember being on Twitter when that shirt dropped, like the original photograph of it.
Oh my God.
It was so crazy. I know, remember? And it was like, because it was just from this random like party that nobody knew that he attended or anything. And then it was just like Harry Styles accidentally debuting a new gay t-shirt.
Harry's gay graphic tees, like what a genre that is. And I hope to see more of them because every one of them is just 10 out of 10, the best t-shirts.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at the timeline for the gay graphic tees and like his first one was the Keith Haring shirt and that debuted in spring of 2019. So we've gotten three since the spring of 2019. I think that he's due to debut a new one soon.
Harry, post a New Year's photo with a graphically queer t-shirt. We all would love that.
Oh, please. Yeah, but I definitely chose the But Daddy I Love Him shirt because that was a style that I was actually able to copy him wearing. I have my own But Daddy I Love Him t-shirt and I really like that company in general. I just think that
that's third class clothing.
Yeah, third class clothing. Discussed it here before, probably will again. I have a problem. But yeah, it's just I just feel very connected to him through those kinds of shirts too because I've always been like a queer graphic tee person for many years. So yeah. How about you, Key?
Yeah, so it was so hard to pick this. I also, of course, love the But Daddy I Love Him look. So iconic. And then a couple other ones that emerge for me. The look that he had on with kind of like the crop checked pants when he was the photo that he posted for the Calm app. I also loved that outfit. I thought it was a great casual outfit. And then recently in the Golden Behind the Scenes video when he's wearing the Flintstones shirt and the iconic, if you ain't a fisherman, you ain't shit, baseball cap. Like, I love that look as well. So Harry, he nails it. He nails the casual looks.
My gosh. I love that cap. Can I just say, okay, well, since you listed several, I will just tack on to that. But if you're not a fisherman, you ain't shit. I have had so much joy this year tracking that hat. It's just very important to me. And I just think it's very funny. And I think he's hilarious.
He is, and he knows it. You can tell that he thinks it's really funny. And you know what? He's right. It is really funny. So.
He's right, and it's funnier each time that I see it, too.
Yeah. But yeah, so that, what a great, like, yeah, so that kind of sums up, like, mm-hmm. his top casual looks of the era. Like, there's, again, there's so many we could name, but the, my favorite, what I would say for my ultimate fave, has got to be Mustache Ree. Mm-hmm. So that is the green and white shirt with the jeans in Italy, with the first photo of him in Italy that we saw. But of course, the most iconic aspect of the look is that it debuted
the mustache.
Harry and a mustache. This was such a moment on social media when this happened.
I miss the mustache. I do.
Yeah, it's definitely like a specific look, and it complements certain, you know, times and places and not others. So I think he knows when to employ it.
He definitely, yeah.
He understands the power of it, and he knows how to use it to its best potential. Yeah, the mustache, like, I posted, I remember. So when this happened on Twitter at first, like, everybody flipped. And it was so divisive. Like, mm-hmm. I remember fights breaking out. Like, well, people were like, yes, Mustache Ree, this is iconic. And then other people were like, this look must die. It's terrible. And those people have no taste.
Oh, I had a friend who, yeah, it was divisive because I had a friend in my inbox who was like, this mustache needs to die with fire.
Yeah, and those people are wrong. Mustache Ree is iconic. I tweeted out a comparison picture of Harry and Freddie Mercury when this happened. This look is like so like 70s gay.
Oh my God, I know. Iconic. Is.
Like, it's just, it was such a good look.
It's so good. Yeah.
I was really living when he first posted that. So that, I think, is my top mm-hmm. casual look of the year. So yeah, but Daddy, I Love Him, Mustache Ree, taking up the top casual looks of 2020.
Yes.
So next, we're going to get into our favorite professional looks of this year. So Gray, do you want to start with that? Kind of give some of your tops and then like your ultimate fave.
So I obviously had lots and lots of favorite professional looks. I love the NPR tiny desk outfit in our art. I find that endlessly charming. The little mon petit chick, at one point I was gonna like embroider. I do embroidery because I'm gay, and so I I have a shirt and I was gonna embroider like that, like mon petit chick onto the shirt because I love it so much. Mm-hmm. Just trying to be Harry Styles so badly.
Aren't we all?
Oh, God. At least the trans masks are, you know.
It's all in there.
I loved a lot of stuff from the Vogue shoot. The Harris Reed in movement skirt I thought was really cool. The one where it was like the big hoop. I thought that was awesome. I thought the Variety banana look. We've obviously discussed that in length, but I thought that was great. But I think that probably my favorite professional look, because of what it debuted, was the Beauty Paper suit. The one where he's being kind of like, his face is made up in that almost kind of like ghoulish makeup, and he's wearing the leather gloves, and he's just like
dark
posing.
Dramatic. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Dark dramatic. I love it. I love it so much. And I love it because it was so striking, and it was part of that set of images that was like some of the leading set of images for Beauty Papers. Yeah, I just have such fond memories of Beauty Papers, which we will discuss in a little bit too. But yeah, that's definitely probably why it's my favorite for me. Beauty Papers has been really there for me, man.
It's been there for us all. Thank you, Beauty Papers.
I know. Thank you, Beauty Papers. How about you?
Yeah, so a couple of the ones that I was kind of choosing between, I love the purple look with the hat that was from the Golden video that was actually cut that didn't appear in the video. I love that so much. I love the green embroidered jacket with the brown corduroys that he wore to the BBC. Of course, the safe sex shirt on that, I think it was a show from New Zealand, maybe?
Yeah, it was that he wore on the New Zealand show. Promo.
Yeah, I loved that too. Yeah, so another one that emerges for me is the yellow Brits look with the purple bow. So that emerges for me, but I think my top look of this era. Oh, and then skip my mind. One of my other favorites is the Bodhi yellow shirt with the yellow shorts from the Golden.
Yes.
From the Watermelon Sugar video. I love that look. I'm obsessed with it. Harry Lambert, please send that to me. Yes. I would very much appreciate it. No, but my favorite look of this year professionally was the J.W. Anderson cardigan from the Today Show. So we talked about that in last week's episode. So if you want to hear us kind of talk about that in more depth, you can listen to it there. But yeah, the rainbow cardigan with the flared jeans was just like such a good look. I want it so bad. It's so good. It's taken up this kind of iconic status too, with so many fans recreating it. So it's just something that's really special that's emerged from this past year.
Yes.
All right. So, and then lastly, we're going to get into a little category called our favorite sexy look of 2020. So we were kind of looking through these photos of like the images, and we were like, okay, casual, you got professional. And then we were like, but there's something missing, and it's those sexy, like unquantifiable looks. Unfortunately, the nude from the album photo shoot is not eligible because it sadly came out in 2019. But Gray, what emerges for you for your favorite sexy look?
Oh, well, there were so many sexy looks that we could discuss in 2020. Surely the entire Beauty Paper shoot is going up there, but I think what I would have to say is probably my favorite sexy look is the skirt that he wore in Vogue. There's a certain image of him sitting on a wheelbarrow in Vogue, not the one that's in the magazine, but like there's a different one. We've all seen it. We all know which one it is. And I saw it and I just thought many things. So Keith, what made you think things this year?
So a look that made me think things was the fishnets look from Beauty Papers. We're talking iconic. What a cover.
Oh my God, I know. And like, there's so many pictures.
Yeah, and they're all amazing. But yeah, the fishnets look so sexy. Thank you, Harry Styles. Thank you, Harry Lambert. It all comes together to produce such a great product, and we're all thankful. And with that wraps up our favorite looks of the era. Listeners, feel free to let us know your favorite looks of the era. Did we have any glaring omissions? Let us know. I'm sure we forgot something. As we said before, Harry Styles DLE is out of commission right now, so there might be some glaring omissions in this episode as we were looking back on the past year, but we did our best.
We did our best.
So yeah, so now we're going to move into our top Harry Styles 2020 moments. So we're going to kind of begin this by just recapping the main things that happened this year, kind of chronologically. So actually, when we were compiling this, kind of less happened than maybe we thought happened. I think it's because Fine Line came out at the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. So there was just so much stuff at the end of 2019 that kind of feels like it was from this year, but like wasn't actually. But yeah, so the kind of what's kicked off the year was some of these live performances. So there was one, there was the Sirius XM show in New York City. Harry performed live at the BBC. So that was kind of one thing that happened towards the beginning of this year.
He performed at the Brits and also released a music video for Falling in February. And then in March, when everything seemed down and out, he released Beauty Papers and the Tiny Desk concert for us.
And then actually towards the end of March, he did an interview kind of making a playlist with Zane Lowe towards the beginning of the pandemic. And then after that, we got the Watermelon Sugar music video.
And then in July, we got his work with Calm app. So that was fun.
It was indeed. And then we got the Golden music video in October. So there is kind of like a break there between July and October. Mm-hmm. And then we got the iconic folk shoot in November.
And then he did bam, 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 so many things. The Gucci film series, his thing with Variety feature.
And so then he did the Jingle Ball, which was, I think, the most, like, the most major recent thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we've been blessed over the past couple weeks. I feel like a lot has happened. And yeah, so that's kind of our quick recap of all the Harry related things that happened this year. So now we're just kind of go like, we're going to kind of say our top three moments that emerged from there as our three favorite things that happened this year. So Gray, do you want to start with your number three or maybe a runner up?
I would say that my runner up for favorite stuff of the year would definitely be the Falling music video. I don't necessarily love the song, but I did love seeing the fashion, and I love seeing the behind the scenes of like how filling the room with water worked, and the, you know, way that things were painted and all the craftsmanship that went into that video. So that's why that's my runner up. How about you, Ki?
Yeah, so my runner-up is the Brits. So the Brits towards the beginning of this year were so much fun. That trio of looks was so iconic. And yeah, it was so much fun. So the performance was great with the water. And it was towards the beginning of like when I started being on social media and the fandom. And it was such a fun moment to experience with everybody. And then finally something that emerges from the Brits was the antics of the Brits. So Harry and Lizzo is a strong memory. Jack Whitehall's jokes with Harry were great. Harry running around and taking snacks from people's tables was great.
Drinking straight tequila. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was so funny. So my runner-up would probably be the Brits.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess we're going to do 3, 2, 1. So I would say that my number three moment of the year was the Tiny Desk concert that came out in March. I just thought that was really fun. There was so much anticipation for the Tiny Desk concert, I think, because we all knew that he had been down to Washington, D.C. and recorded something with NPR there. And I still remember people were passing around photos and we had kind of seen like a little bit what he was wearing. And we were like, we want this Tiny Desk concert to come. When's it coming? When's it coming? And then it came. And it's, of course, amazing and totally worth the wait. The outfit is incredible. Everybody sounds amazing. The version of Cherry on there that opens it, oh, my God. It's, like, incredible. Yeah, it's beautiful. I think it's, you know, it's obviously one of the only times that To Be So Lonely has been played live.
True. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, which I think that that's really special. Yeah, just a very, very special performance, and just very lovely and sweet.
It was so soft. It was like what he was wearing was soft. I remember him, that was when he did the little thing where he described what he was wearing, right? So an interviewer asked him to describe what he was wearing, and he was like, I'm wearing a chick sweater. And it was just, there's such a good energy, such like a nice warm energy that was from the Tiny Desk concert. And yeah, it's a good memory.
And I just, and NPR was like so respectful, and he was great back. And so it's just wonderful. One of my favorite memories, I have to say, from around the time of its release was people who were talking about the lead up to the Tiny Desk concert. Cause I remember they were like, we invited Harry to come to Tiny Desk, and we didn't realize the amount of like fan energy towards him until before he even got here. We noticed, we were like, are there teenage girls hanging outside of the NPR Tiny Desk office? Are they just like hanging out down there? And they were like, why are they here? And then, oh, it's because Harry Styles is nearby.
Yeah, and not to say, of course, that all Harry's fans are teenage girls.
Oh, of course not.
The hosts of this podcast are evidence too. But and I remember them saying too, that one doesn't ring a bell, but I do remember them saying that all of the staff at NPR were like converging on the performance space, which they said hadn't happened with some other guests. So so yeah, it's clear they loved it. The fans loved it. It was a great moment.
It was great. Okay. So what was your number three, Ki?
Yeah, so my number three is kind of something that I think might not be something that some people even remember. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. This stood out as a special moment for me, and maybe it was because it kind of coincided with the beginning of the pandemic. But that was his interview with Zane Lowe at the end of March, where he kind of made a playlist, and it was just kind of like maybe 2 hours of them just talking and Harry sharing some music that was special to him. And yeah, so I remember this day specifically, like I was just having like a crap day at work, like, and I was like kind of down about it, and it was just the most like beautiful 2 hours. It just immediately lifted my mood. It was so special. Just and I think something that I loved about it so much too was that so many of the songs I didn't know, so it was really cool to kind of get exposed to new artists and new music that, you know, Harry listens to and that are special to him. And there were some songs on it that I did know and that are songs that are really personally special to me that I guess are also special to Harry. And so two that emerged from that for me were Simon and Garfunkel's America, which like is one of my favorite songs. I listen to all the time and I have since I was a little kid, and Billy Joel's Summer Highland Falls. So both of those songs are like really personally special to me. My dad introduced me to like a lot of the music that I like, and Billy Joel and Simon and Garfunkel are like a big part of that. And so it just made me feel so close to Harry, I guess, to be like listening to this playlist live, like as him and Zane were talking about it. And then, yeah, suddenly like Billy Joel was playing and I was like, maybe it's because I was having a rough day, but I cried a little bit because I was just like, wow, like it's a really personally special song to me. So to hear that from Harry's playlist in kind of a surprise moment was just really special to me. And so that emerges for me as one of my top moments of the year for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will have to say that like the Zane Lowe playlist, I mean, it will be interesting to hear from listeners here, like if there was anything that you personally connected to on the playlist, because I know that I did. It was interesting that he started off with a song from the Zombies, because I'm looking at the playlist now and I thought it was interesting. I still remember being like, oh, of course he's not going to pick This Will Be Our Year, because he's going to want to pick a slightly more like quote unquote like lesser known zombie song, because everybody knows this will be our year, and he might think it's cliche or something. But then he played it. He played This Will Be Our Year, which I've just been listening to so much this year. And I definitely cried hearing it, because that is what I needed to hear at the time. And it has been what I needed to hear a lot this year.
Wow, I'm glad I was not the only one who cried at this playlist with Zane Lowe.
Yeah, no, gonna earn our explicit rating by saying this will be our year, fucks. So
love that. Yeah, thank you, Zane Lowe, because thank you, Zane. We can't put like obviously. So Fine Line obviously would be in here if it came out in 2020. Alas, it did not. But Zane Lowe's interview with Harry would be in here too if it came out in 2020.
Yeah, because yeah.
Zane Lowe is such a good interviewer, and he's so empathetic, good. and he's so respectful, and he just knows how to get people to talk about things in such an interesting way. And so yeah, so Zane Lowe got that. I was so happy to get a second little thing with Zane Lowe this year. And so yeah, that's my number three.
Okay, well, number two, I'll have to say the Watermelon Sugar music video, which is just, I mean, what else is there to say about Watermelon Sugar music video? Yeah, I feel like since it's his number one song, like so much has been said about Watermelon Sugar. I feel like everything in it is instantly iconic. Like 10 years from now, there's still going to be like little parodies about what things in the Watermelon Sugar music video like looked like, and people talking about like what a moment certain fashions in it were, and like
yeah, the fashion really emerges for me as like, my favorite thing about it. I think like Harry Lambert, we talked about this in our episode last week, his stylings in it were amazing on Harry, and then he collaborated with another stylist styling all the other people in the video, and they all work so well together. It's just such a cohesive aesthetic for the video. And so yeah, I think the styling and the fashion is my favorite part of it.
I mean, just everybody in the music video looked great. The women were beautiful. The men were beautiful. Everybody looked like they were having a great time, giving each other pleasure in all sorts of ways. So I just loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I did too. This video is dedicated to touching. A nice thing in this time of coronavirus to get something like that.
Yeah.
All right. So what emerges for me as my second favorite Harry moment of the year is the Vogue cover. So it sucked that this was kind of marred by the controversy that it eventually was marred by. The shoot is so beautiful. The cover is so beautiful. Like, it was so much fun being on Twitter when that dropped. I remember waking up and it had already dropped, and I scrolled through everybody's tweets, and then Twitter just stopped because there were just so many tweets about it that it wouldn't even let me see the first ones when it first came out, because everybody had so much to say. It was like, what a beautiful shoot. It, like we've kind of talked about in last week's episode, there's kind of a natural progression to this era in terms of the fashion, and to see Harry in a dress on the cover of Vogue, it was so special. And yeah, again, like I kind of said, it sucked that there was kind of this controversy associated with it, but that doesn't take away for me from the shoot itself and how great of a shoot and interview that was.
It was so crazy seeing it just drop that morning, because it's not the kind of thing that you expect to just be dropped with no warning. He's on the cover of Vogue. It was just instantly iconic. If Harry's going to be talked about and discoursed about, you know, I'm glad that it was about Vogue. I'm glad that he got to have this accomplishment, that he and his team got to have this accomplishment, that he got to look so fucking good doing it, you know?
I love that. What a good way to put it. Yeah, that was an awesome moment. All right. So now I believe we're on to our top moment of the year. So what was your top Harry Styles moment of 2020?
Beauty papers. Yes. I love beauty papers. We both love beauty papers. But since he really went off about it last week, it's my turn now. I just thought, like, what else is there to say about beauty papers? There's just so much mystery behind it. Like, I said, you know, last week, I would love to have like an oral history of beauty papers. And it's something that we're never going to get, probably. But I would just love to know more about it, which makes it all the more mysterious. Like, I still look at some of the images and I can't believe that we have them. Like, the image,
I feel the same way.
I know the image of, obviously there's the most familiar images of the fishnets, and, you know, of the suit, but like, I don't think enough about the hair, like the Harris Reed headdress, and the white face paint and in the bathrobe, I think because it almost doesn't seem real.
Yeah, it definitely has this feeling. It is kind of surreal, the beauty papers shoot, because we didn't get very much information about it. And when it happened, it was kind of like this liminal time. Like,
I know.
Where I guess it was like, I forget exactly when it happened, but I guess it was like before COVID-19 happened. But then like pretty soon after, like everything started getting shut down and kind of everything changed. So it was kind of like the last gasp of something. And it gives it kind of this surreal feeling. So yeah, beauty papers is like, we kind of wanted to, you know, give a variety of things for this top three. So we made sure to choose different ones, but beauty papers definitely up there for me too. It's what a great moment this year.
Yeah. It just, I mean, I would not be displeased if he did another feature in there or something similar somewhere else, but who knows. Now, Key, what was your number one this year?
So one of the biggest things that happened this year that was one of my favorites was the Golden music video. So that's kind of coupled together, like with the behind the scenes video and all the things that kind of emerged from that. I loved the Golden video. I'm obsessed with all the fashion in it. It was so much fun, again, to be like be on social media when that happened. Everybody was so excited about it. It was kind of, we hadn't gotten anything at that point in a little while. And so it was just so exciting and so much fun. And yeah, I just was obsessed with it. And it was just such a moment of joy this fall to get that. So that, I think, emerges for me as my top Harry moment of the year.
And the lead up to it was so fun, like seeing Harry in Italy in the driving gloves and initially like not knowing what he was doing there. Because initially I was just like, oh, he's taken up wearing driving gloves now. And maybe he has. I don't know. It seems like a mysterious thing that he might do. But yeah, no, I agree. Fantastic.
Yeah, bravo. That pirate shirt. It's like a pirate shirt. It's like a Mr. Darcy, like, romance movie shirt. Like, that part of the video. Again, all the fashion in the video is iconic. We could spend forever talking about it. The beautiful high-waisted pants, the yellow hat. But yeah, that white billowy shirt. I've always wanted a white billowy shirt, and it, yeah. And I'll always remember Harry running through the forest wearing that shirt. It was,
it's the gay Mr. Darcy look. Well, Harry, be in a gay version of Pride and Prejudice and wear the shirt.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that there's no gay adaptations of Pride and Prejudice? A sin, yes?
Yeah. I haven't even thought about that, but now that you've said that, that's perfect. And I'm looking at calling up directors that I can that I can ask to take that on.
Ring, ring.
Yeah. So that was a beautiful moment this year. And yeah. So that kind of sums up our year-end wrap-up. Let us know if you think we missed anything. I'd be so curious to know what your top Harry moment of the year is. You can tweet that at us at HarryStylesPod or email us your top Harary moments, weblameharrystyles@gmail.com. Yeah, get in touch. I'd be so curious to know.
Or you can now send us an ask on tumblr.hell.
True!
And tell us what you think of that. Because that is the new thing that we have, a Tumblr.hell account. Tumblr.
At Harry Styles Pod on there as well.
Speaking of hell, it's now time to move into a section we like to call Must Get Rid of Toxic in Community, where we talk about toxic hate comments that we've seen online, poke a little fun at them, have a little laugh. We're doing something a little special this week. Because it is a year end, we thought that we would like to give an award to the discourse of the year. So after fierce discussion and debate, Key and I have decided to award discourse of the year to the Vogue dress discourse. Everybody give a clap. Clap, clap, clap. You know, there have been so many things that have been hashed out in this fandom, but Vogue really was the one discourse to gain international publication.
Yeah, and it was a nightmare to live through, but
it was a nightmare.
Definitely emerges as one of the most significant moments of this year.
It upset almost everybody on the political spectrum, from weirdo conservatives to posturing homosexuals.
Who think they're too good for
Harry Styles.
Yeah.
To people who just like to be angry.
Yeah. So that sucks that happened, but mm-hmm. Yeah, congrats to Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro,
Donald Trump Jr., Ted Cruz, Matt Walsh. Am I missing anyone? So many people. So many people have had takes. So many publications. Dazed, Paper Magazine.
Oh God. So many publications I'll be avoiding from now on because of their terrible, terrible takes.
Oh goodness gracious.
Yeah, so when we're calling out the dumbest comments of the year, that definitely emerges for me as the source of the most dumb things that I've seen regarding Harry this year.
And oh, the therapy I've had to work through some of them.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much, the ether of the online, for sharing your inane comments with us. We look forward to seeing more of them in 2021.
Or not.
Or not.
I'd love to not. I'd love if Harry could just express femininity and for it to not ensue backlash. That'd mm-hmm. be great. I'd love that.
Oh, and I would love $1 million. Yeah. Okay. Well, in our outro, Key, are you looking forward to some non-Harry things this week? What do you got?
Yeah.
What blessings do you got in your future?
So last week I talked about rom-coms, and you know what? I have more rom-coms.
Oh.
So today I watched Bridget Jones's Baby, which was the third in a series of films, which I'm sure listeners are aware of, and it was a lot better than the second movie. Was it a good movie? I think so. I don't know. It's unclear to me, but I enjoyed watching it a lot. Been loving rom-coms this time of year. There's a couple of movies that came out on streaming due to kind of Christmas, and like, because Christmas is the biggest box office weekend usually, and so some streaming services release movies that normally would be released in theaters. So yesterday I watched Pixar's Soul, which was really good. I'd really recommend that. That's on Disney+.
Oh, is it good? I was thinking about watching
it is.
That.
Yeah, and it takes place in New York City. So I thought that might appeal to you, and you might have some takes or thoughts about that and its portrayal of New York. So I really enjoyed that movie, and I haven't seen Wonder Woman 1984 yet, but I'm also looking forward to that.
Ooh,
so
I like
that,
that
is what my next week will look like, is watching all these movies. What about you? Mm.
So yesterday I rewatched the 2008 production of Rent for Christmas, which is a great Christmas movie to watch. Would I say it's superior to the film version? Yes, but I do also like the film version because they are both my trash. Maureen is the evil bisexual of my soul. Everybody's always giving their all with Rent. Always. Can I recommend it unproblematically? No. Should you watch it? Maybe.
That really is the question with Rent.
Should you watch it? Maybe. I latched onto it when I was 15, and so now I'm rent poisoned. In terms of other things that have been bringing me joy, I'm in a really weird part of YouTube right now where I'm kind of like getting recommended really old, like Harry Styles facts YouTubes and like Harry Styles, like really old Harry Styles imagines. And so I'm kind I'm kind of in this place where sometimes when I just have like an hour, I'll just like mainline these really old videos made by, I don't know, like shout out to like 15-year-old directioners telling me that Harry's real name is Harold and that he likes girls who are adventurous more than he likes girls who don't do anything. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but I cherish these videos. If you are a former 15-year-old girl who made these videos, I love you. Like, thank you for bringing me joy. So,
you're giving the YouTuber Curtis Connor content in this new year, who makes great videos about terrible 1D and Harry Styles imagines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, do you want to lead us out of here?
Yeah. So you can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com on Twitter and Tumblr. We can be found at Harry Styles Pod. Follow us there, DM us there, let us know what you think of the show. You can rate and review our podcast. And yeah, we'd so appreciate that if you chose to do that.
Subscribe to us on your preferred podcast host to become notified of our next episode. Thank you for listening. We love you. Happy holidays.
Happy New Year. Happy, hopefully, Treat People With Kindness music video soon.
Yes. Okay. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye, loves.
Bye, everyone.
Do it now.